So, welcome to Melbourne. As you said, you've just flown in last night.
And
you're here at Joy without even having had a coffee yet.
I know, isn't that dedication?
So that is dedication.
Actually, it's not. It's just stupid. I should have got up a lot earlier and had a coffee. That's what it was.
And you're bad in management. Melbourne. It's kind of like home of good coffee.
I know. So. I should have. It was probably one like a door away and I don't know. I just kind of slept in. It's like the end of the tour and the whole schedule is you stay up very late and then you also get up very late. And I tend to
always... True rock star.
Yeah, I try to be a rock star. That's what I'm trying to do. Yeah.
But you still need your coffee.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here at Joy on the Kiss My Arts show.
Brilliant name.
Brilliant. I know. So obviously you've got 3 studio albums happening at the moment. You've got a string of tours under your belt and a string of collaborations, which we'll talk about in due course. But I'd love to start off in orderly structure.
Okay, I like this.
My OCD coming out. Where did it all start? Let's go right
back. Okay, wow. I was born in Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a rock and roller musician and songwriter, and my mum was a ballerina who had then gone on to be a primary school teacher. Yeah, and I was the 4th daughter, and then there were 3 more to come after me. So there's 7 girls in my family.
Wow, your poor dad.
I know.
He must be amazing.
He had 4 sisters and no brothers growing up, so he's pretty
well
used
to
being surrounded by women. Yeah.
Cool. So you obviously came from an extremely creative family.
I did. I got really lucky in that. I just come from a family that it was always encouraged and held very highly, actually, to be an artist and to pursue the arts and
so
in whatever
was
form.
Like, don't do law, don't do medicine, do music.
It kind of was.
Really?
My dad actually would have been so disappointed in us if we'd been an architect or a doctor or a lawyer. Yeah, he really, I mean... He's quite a character, but he really would have been. And in fact, I know that when my older sister bought a house, and that was just scandalous in our family. You don't buy a house.
You don't because you didn't
down.
Actually grow up in a house, did
no,
you?
No.
Tell us your story about living or growing up in a motorhome.
Yeah, well, we actually started off in just a Toyota Corolla. For a little while.
7 girls and 2 parents.
Well, by
that,
nearly. We had, I think mum was pregnant at the time, and my elder sister Danielle had joined a theatre company, and she's like when she was 14, so she'd stayed back in Sydney. So I was born in Adelaide, and then when I was about 3, we moved to Sydney for 3 or so years. My dad had a band there, and so they moved. Sydney was a better place to be for a band.
Mm.
And then about age 6, we started traveling a lot. So it did start out in a Toyota Corolla, and then eventually we upgraded to a motorhome.
Wow.
And, we traveled around a lot. There were times, like, for a few years, mum and dad were offered this building, which was really old, run-down ex-hotel that was just, like, rotting away. But regardless, they were offered it to start up an arts colony, where different artists could just come and, you know, write poetry, record albums, do small publications, paint, anything, basically, be a clown. And so they kind of oversaw that, and that was like our home base. We'd always go away, we'd travel away, do certain projects, and then we'd come back. And that was in Malmesbury, which is like an hour and a bit out of Melbourne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But as a kid, like, that was amazing. It was this old rundown hotel, all these rooms, and we had this massive room up the top called the Arts and Crafts Room. And it was like any new visitor that came along would bring whatever talent they did, like if it's basket weaving or leather work. So as a kid, you're just like,
this is amazing.
This is crazy. I could do, you know, it was so good. And you had all these like teachers, built-in teachers, like that adults that were willing to like show you how to make all this stuff.
So did you go to school as well, or were you homeschooled? Or
We were homeschooled, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, mum being a primary school teacher helped.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
But honestly, even then it was pretty unstructured. Dad always had the theory that it was better to learn all ages together and, you know, to learn from your elders and have that respect as well, and other kids helping other kids. And he just thought that was a much better a way to learn. And also everybody learns, especially kids, we learn at a different pace. So I wasn't interested in reading for years until I was about 10. I mean, I could, roughly. But as soon as I had an interest to learn, I learned very, very quickly. But then my other sister was like 5 years old and she's a genius at reading and spelling and all that stuff, you know? So it just is like, it's so different from kid to kid.
I guess it goes back to that philosophy that if a child wants to learn something, then they will, rather than having a set syllabus to follow and force feeding a child to learn reading by the age of seven or whatever it is. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
So that was the mum and dad's theory kind of.
So you always grew up, I guess, on the road and travelling around and experiencing things. So your song, Another White Dash, then.
Yeah, it's very relevant.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah, it's not about drugs as some... it was at one point, when it came out that as a single, there were some radio stations in America that thought I was talking about cocaine or something. I was like, I'm talking about the white dashes in the middle of the road. Like, I'm... Listen to the lyrics. But, yeah, some stations wouldn't play it because they thought that's what it was about. I was like, it's not even close. So, no, it's a traveling song. And, after years of traveling, it just seemed appropriate that I would actually write a traveling song.
Yeah, it's been stuck in my head for a while, I must admit.
Yeah. Oh, I hope that's good.
Yeah, it's good. So your dad is a bit of a rock and roller himself and introduced you to a 4-track recorder when you were 10.
Yeah, that was the first time I think really showed interest in it and was probably old enough to understand it. But I'd kind of been my dad's shadow since I was like tiny, because we would nearly always have some kind of studio in the house that, you know, we would be looking after, and dad produced a lot of local bands in Adelaide. So I would, some of my earliest memories are being in what would have been the studio, I guess, and seeing all the tapes there and watching my dad, you know, with all the faders and knobs and everything, and just being fascinated. I guess I'd always had an interest, and I always followed him to the studio to see what was going on. And then, at 10, he's just like, finally, I'm just going to show you how to do this yourself. You obviously want to do
you're
it.
On your so, own now.
Yeah, exactly.
And did you start writing music when you were 10?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I'd actually been writing before that. My first song, this is embarrassing. My first song, I think, when I was about 5, it went for 30 minutes. It went for a whole side of a cassette tape.
It's like an opera.
It was. And I had no idea. But it was called I'm the Famous Person in the World. So
that is so cute.
So even as a 5-year-old, I had high expectations on myself. Mm. Yeah. But I remember playing it to my dad and some of my sisters. And I remember he's always very encouraging, but he's like, honey, this is a bit long. It's a little bit long.
It'll never get played on radio.
It'll never get played on radio, honey.
A practical man.
Yeah. So I learned from then on. Then my second song was I'm the Cowboy. Bop, bop,
I think you should release a fourth album just from all of
all my before 10 years old songs. Yeah, but I guess when I was 10, that really, learning how to use the 4-track and learning how to layer things, that just blew my mind. And I just had that feeling of my heart was exploding and I'd found the thing that I was good at. You know, because as a kid, I was quite shy and a bit anxious, and I still am, but I just, you know, you finally find that place where you're comfortable and there's this strength that you didn't know you had. And for me, that was making music and specifically being in the studio. I love being in the studio.
So right from age 10, you knew what you wanted to do.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I never really questioned it. I mean, as I got older and over the years, you know, I've now been doing this for so long, and at some point it becomes your job as well, and that's always the hard balance. Is this is something you had that child you know, experience, and it was genuine. But at some point, it becomes your job, and you've got to make sure that you still enjoy it as much as you did as you know when you were a kid. And there's been, you know, a couple of major times when I have not. I've completely lost that joy in it, and you just, that's when I questioned it. I was like, well, why am I doing it if I'm
not enjoying
it? What else
would you do?
Exactly. Well, that's what happens,
isn't
it?
I mean, I'm sure you're extremely talented at many things, but if you weren't a musician, what would you do?
Honestly, I love... for a while there, actually, I did a lot of sculpting and painting. Oh, so there's that side of me too. It's still
creative.
Very artistic, yeah. It's very arty farty. But my favorite stuff right now, I've always been fascinated by furniture just because it is art to me, and it is also usable, it's functional. And I want it to be functional. Just like my music, you know, I don't want to make music that just only a few people get or understand because it's too tricky or something. I always have wanted to make popular music, pop music that people can sing along to because it's hooky and it's fun, or it's sad, but
communicates something.
Yeah,
to
I wanted to for it to go on to have a life in somebody else's life other than my own.
Well, what's the point in being a creative person if you create something that nobody else gets the pleasure of?
I know. Well, I think there are artists out there that don't think like that, but yeah, I mean, I feel like that is kind of my duty as an artist is to, it's for other people. Otherwise, it's just a lot of work, and it seems a little selfish. Mm-hmm. I mean, I spend years writing and recording, and it has to go on to have a life. Yeah. Otherwise, I feel like I need to be doing something else that's more helpful to the world. Honestly. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're, as we mentioned before, you come from a pretty musical family, and your sisters, Becca, Eden and Harmony, I believe, are also musicians.
They are, yeah.
So do you collaborate with your family, or did you? Because I know you were in a band with your sister earlier on.
Yeah, I was in my sister, Becca's band for about 7 years. I joined when I was 15, and I played bass and sung in her band. And I helped write on those songs too, like bits and pieces, but it was still definitely her band, and she'd started it, and it was definitely her baby, you know, and I was there. But it was an amazing experience for me, even just to get on stage and get over my nervousness, you know, and find some kind of stage presence. I worked a little bit with Harmony, my younger sister. I produced a couple of tracks for her once. She came over and visited me in Nashville. Eden, I don't think we've actually, apart from we did some I did some live videos once on YouTube, and she came in and sung on them for part of that, and her husband, who's also in her band Lovers Electric, they came in and as Lovers Electric supported me on some videos.
That's a great name.
Yeah,
it?
I mean, it's always been, you know. We grew up singing all together and writing silly songs and all of that. I think it would have been my dad's like dream if all us girls had just made a giant Boucher Girl band. But I think it also sounds like it would just be a nightmare.
Yeah,
perhaps.
and logistically probably wouldn't happen.
Yeah, we're all across the world, so it doesn't seem doable just yet. Yeah.